This is Brewers on Tap.
Brewers on Tap, the official podcast of the Milwaukee Brewers. I'm Lane Griddle, and this is episode number 42. Coming up on this edition of the podcast, we're going to talk with new Brewer Kirk Neuenhuis, and we're going to check in on left-handed pitching prospect Josh Hader, who is currently with the Biloxi Shuckers. Plus, the Brewers have completed road trip number one. They went 3-5 against the Cardinals, Pirates, and Twins, taking a single game from each club over those eight contests. So more on that in just a moment, but first...
And now, this week in Brewers history.
April 20th, 1987, the Brewers jump out to a 13-0 start, tying a major league record as they tie the American League record as well by posting a 17-1 mark in 87 through their first 18 games, the furthest into a season with just one loss. Well, as we told you, the crew was able to get the middle game of their three-game series versus the Cardinals last Wednesday in St. Louis. It was a game that included late-inning heroics from Domingo Santana.
Neuenhuis a couple of steps at first, swinging a drive to center and deep. Get up! Get out of here! Gone for Santana! And the Brewers have the lead. On a booming home run by Domingo Santana with Neuenhuis aboard, and he hit it out of here in deep right center. Wow, what a shot by Santana. Another Wisconsin Lottery Powerball home run.
It ended a 6-4 victory for the good guys and was followed with a 7-0 shutout loss in the series finale against the Cardinals. From there, the Brewers headed east to Pittsburgh, where Ryan Braun would put on a show in the series opener with not one.
Here it is with the runner going, a swing and a drive in the center and deep. Get up! Get up, get out of here, and way gone for Ryan Braun. And the Brewers add two more on a huge home run by Ryan Braun. I mean, that one was really hit, folks.
But two.
Braun winning, and the pitch to him. Swinging a drive in the center. Way back. Get up. Get out of here. It is gone for Ryan Braun. And he just hit another one. How about that one? And what a night for Ryan Braun. It's his third hit in the game. His second home run. Another two-run shot. Out of here in center field.
An 8-4 win on Jackie Robinson Day, no less, put the crew back at 500 on the season at that point at 5-5. Pirates claim the next two games in the series, though, with 5-0 and 9-3 wins over the next 2 days. The road trip finished up in Minnesota, and it was a late Monday night before a rain delay of 2 hours and 6 minutes ended game one after the sixth inning, before the crew pulled out a 6-5 win in the final game of the road trip. Scooter Jeanette singled home Yadiel Rivera to score the winning run. Coming back home to Miller Park, a couple of Brewers are really playing well, including Ryan Braun. He's hitting .319 with 3 home runs and 10 RBI early on this season, an OPS of .938 for Bronny. Chris Carter's also hitting .244 with 3 home runs and 10 driven in, an OPS of .894, and Scooter Jeanette actually has the highest OPS of all the Brewers with an OPS of .943. A lot of new Brewers this year, and one of the names in the outfield is Kirk Neuenhuis.
Let's catch up with the crew.
Kirk Neuenhuis, our guest here on the podcast. And Kirk, first off, you know, welcome to the Brewers. This has been quite a last 6 weeks or so for you, getting yourself in position to make this team and then being a part of this team, obviously, to start the 2016 season. What's the journey been like?
So been a little bit different, spring-wise for me. This is my first spring with a different team other than the Mets. First Arizona spring training, so it was a lot different for my wife and I. But definitely better. I think, I like being in Arizona a lot more, that's for sure. You don't have quite the travel you do out in Florida, but no, it's a great group of guys, and I'm excited to be here. We got a great group of guys, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun this year.
You know, you obviously were part of the Mets a year ago. You were able to make the postseason roster, get some postseason at-bats. How did that experience, help you just in terms of being on the big stage moving forward?
Well, it was incredible. I think, that's something that you don't really trade for anything. And it's kind of being in the situation that you've always dreamed about as a young kid. And I didn't get a ton of at-bats, ton of playing time, but at the same time, just being there and being a part of it. Was a really special experience and something that I think will help me, throughout my career. And I think that, it really, on that stage, it really magnifies every little detail about the game. But at the same time, it's a little bit freeing in a sense that, this is what you've been working for your whole life. And, it's right in front of you. So it's a lot of fun.
Throughout spring, you're able to get a lot of at-bats. How important is that to get into a rhythm and get those opportunities?
Well, it was great to get, that many at-bats. I am used to getting that many at-bats in the spring, just the past few years. It's just kind of worked out that way. But, the spring was a little bit different. I didn't feel like I got into the rhythm that I wanted to get into. But, it's not really because of lack of at-bats. It was just more feeling stuff out in my swing, stuff like that. I'm looking forward to getting more and getting back to work.
Do you feel like, as you now a part of this club, it's a younger group, do you feel like there's a good energy, an energy that, is really connected and gives you guys a chance to overachieve a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, the team chemistry in here is really, really good, and I think that if it wasn't, it could be a bad situation. But being the way that it is with this group of guys, I think we got a really good chance of, overachieving could be the word. But, for us as a group of competitors, I think that, we set the bar pretty high for ourselves.
You getting the chance to work with Darnell Coles, what has he brought to the table for you and your approach?
Well, he's definitely not going to be outworked by anybody else, and so I think that is kind of inspiration for us as hitters, just to keep at it and really to grind it out. And it's a long season, so can't be too hard on yourself, and Darnell does a good job of not letting you do that. Sometimes as competitors and playing a tough game that we play and being asked to do a job that's not easy, hitting's not easy. So with all that in mind, it's easy to get down on yourself. It's easy to doubt yourself a lot. And he does a good job of not letting you do that.
You were part of a bunch of guys that were battling for those spots in the outfield. How much did that competition, was it difficult at times, or was it one of those things where it really made you get excited about getting up and getting into the complex early down in Phoenix?
Well, I think that, pretty much anybody in this spot, I shouldn't say that. I think most of us in here are competitors by nature, and we want to win. That being said, I think that I've been in a lot of different situations in spring training. I think this is probably my seventh or eighth big league camp. And I've been, the assumed starter. I've been the assumed, going to double A guy, going to triple A guy. I've been assumed, a bench spot. I've been on the bubble of a roster plenty of times. So I feel like I've been in most situations that you can be in as a player. So I was kind of used to it. You really have to focus on – it's a double-edged sword because you have to focus on getting ready for a season, but you also have to, win a spot on the team. So I think that, the competitor definitely comes out in you in those situations. So it's not quite as easygoing as a spring as, some of the other guys, but it's still a lot of fun.
You're new to the Brewers this year, so fans still getting kind of familiar with you. Tell them something about yourself they may not know right now. There's probably plenty, but what you want to share.
That's a good one. I grew up in, you know, a lot of different states. I moved around quite a bit growing up, so I'm not too familiar with this part of the country, but definitely looking forward to getting used to it and hopefully be here for a long time.
What are some of your hobbies, things you like to do when you're not playing baseball?
I like golfing. I live in Seattle in the off season, which doesn't sound like a great golfing destination, but most of the time I get quite a few rounds in the off season. So definitely enjoy golf. You know, right now it's way too cold for that up here, but you know, during the season it's a little bit different too. Can't get quite in as much as I would like, but no, that's something about me.
Kirk, we appreciate it. Thanks so much. Welcome to the Brewers.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Let's get in the classroom with Sabermetrics 101. On this edition of the podcast, we look at ISO, which essentially is a formula to determine how much power a player has in his bat. It's different than slugging percentage and batting average in that someone that hits three singles in 10 at-bats has an identical batting average and slugging percentage. However, they would have a worse ISO than someone that has one home run in 10 at-bats and no other hits. The formula is like this: doubles plus 2 times triples plus 3 times home runs divided by at-bats. Or maybe a little bit more simply put, it's slugging percentage minus average. It's a great tool to determine a player's power, but it, like so many other sabermetrics terms we discuss on here, shouldn't be used exclusively. To use a Brewer as an example, though, Chris Carter has tremendous power, as we all know, and his ISO this season is 317. Anything above 250 is excellent, according to Fangraphs.com. We talk about prospects all the time on this podcast, and one of the best is a left-hander currently in Biloxi.
Checking in on the farm.
Josh Hader is our guest on the podcast. Josh, you're one of the top prospects in this system right now, specifically on the mound. You're kind of climbing that ladder, getting close. Can you feel it? That now you're starting to, you're gonna start in Double A. You're getting closer and closer to that big league call up someday.
You know, you hope for it. Definitely see it's right around the corner. But you kind of let that, put that in the back of your mind. Don't even really think about that. And you know, continue on to what I've been doing.
You got the opportunity to get some innings on the big league side this spring, and yet good results, obviously, specifically your start against the Diamondbacks over in Talking Stick. What did you take from those experiences, and how can you grow as a pitcher having been through those things now?
You know, I took a lot out of it. From the Royals game when I pitched there, you learn how these great hitters approach the game and approach on their at-bats. They have one thing in mind, and they hate your mistakes. They don't miss them. So, you know, it helped me out, learn how to pitch accordingly to my strengths, and being able to, I guess, work the big league hitters. So that was one of the biggest things that I learned.
What do you think makes you tough on hitters?
I definitely have to say the deception in my fastball. That's it's, you know, it's tough to see, especially from facing a lefty. I mean, I hear from Phillips and all that it's tough to see because it looks like the ball is coming from their backside. So, you know, that's one of the biggest things with my delivery is the deception.
You were a part of the Gomez trade, and, you know, we always talk about guys at the big league level when they get traded and what that's like. What's it like as a prospect, as a minor league guy, getting traded in the middle of a season?
It's nice. You know, it makes you kind of happy that other teams are interested in you. You know, when I got traded from the Orioles to Houston, it was a big thing because, you know, you have the opportunity. When I was with Houston, they were rebuilding, they were in that process, so it was nice that they wanted you in that rebuild. So when Phillips and Hauser and I came over here, it was you know, it was the same opportunity, but right now we're not as young, so the opportunity is right there. So, and you got to take it and run with it.
Was it easier coming over with a couple of guys that you were familiar with too?
Yeah, it makes it a little bit easier, obviously, because you know them guys, so you're not just alone. But, you know, I like to make new friends and meet new people. So, it's it's nice, you know, to have them too, so kind of get to know everybody with them.
You, in your downtime, what are the things that Josh Hader likes to do?
I like to go fishing a lot, hunting in the off season, obviously, because you can't do that during the season. And, you know, just hang out and listen to music. And most of the time, it's try and fish as much as I can.
What do you fish for?
Bass. When I went down to Texas, we did a little saltwater fishing, so that was a nice first time to do that. We got some flounder, red drum, a little bit of everything.
You know, it seems to be a theme. A lot of guys like to fish in their downtime. I mean, do you guys all get together and plan some trips together from a fishing standpoint?
I mean, I go fishing with a couple guys off the team. You know, kind of just, it's just relaxing. I mean, can't beat nature and just, you know, just sitting out there after a long day, or right now it's after a long day, but before in the season, it's normally in the morning, so it's a good way to start off your day, you know, watch the sunrise and just hear, the birds chirping and all that stuff. So it's nice. It's just a relaxing thing to do.
What do you like to hunt?
Deer, duck, and, some goose, because from Maryland, so big goose.
Josh Hader's our guest here on the podcast. Josh, who are some of the people that you draw your inspiration from when you're getting ready to take them out?
Definitely my father and my mother, you know, my family in general. You know, just all the support that they've had with me growing up, and you know, it's been nice, and it's nice because I do this for them and all the people that support me. So, you know, I just go out there and give it my all, and then let it take from there.
Josh, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Josh Hader's had a great start to the season, just one earned run in 13 innings pitched with 19 strikeouts so far for the Shuckers. In AAA Colorado Springs, Michael Reed continues to tear up the PCL with a 371 average, and Alex Presley's playing well also, hitting 344, two doubles, a triple, a home run. How is super prospect Orlando Arcia doing?
Drilled right center field by Arcia, up the gut, all the way to the wall. Presley into third, getting the wave from his manager, Rick Sweet. Presley will score. Arcia hits second. He's gunning for third. He'll be in standing with an RBI triple. And it's a one-run game, 3-2, Memphis.
Sky Sox announcer Dan Karcher on the call. Arcia is hitting a solid 289 in the early going. The Sky Sox are 5-5. Double-A Biloxi, the Shuckers are tied for first in the Southern League and sitting at 9-3. Brett Phillips is hitting 326 with a home run and 8 driven in, and we already told you about what Josh Hader is doing. High-A Brevard County has struggled out of the gate at 3-10, but right-handed pitcher Bubba Derby's impressed with 8 2/3 innings pitched and just a single run allowed, while Angel Ortega is hitting 347 from his shortstop position. Class A Wisconsin is 5-8, but outfielder David Denson playing very well recently with an OPS of 912, and Isan Diaz continues to swing a hot stick.
Diaz to left center field and deep. That one's going to get out of here. Isan Diaz with his second home run of the season. That one's off the scoreboard in left center field, and it's 3-1 Wisconsin.
Two home runs in the early going for Diaz.
Here's what's on tap with the Brewers.
Well, a reminder, you can save 50% on tickets during the Brewers' annual 5-county, 5-day celebration, this 5-game homestand that we are about to embark on at Miller Park. Going Wednesday through Sunday, the Brewers squaring off against the Twins and the Phillies. And it is, again, the 5-county, 5-day celebration, half-price tickets for the Crew's interleague matchup against the Twins, which is Wednesday the 20th, Thursday the 21st, and the weekend showdown with the Phillies Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. A couple of day games in there. Thursday against the Twins at 12:40. Sunday against the Phillies at 1:10. Again, half-price tickets for the entire homestand. You can call 414-902-4000. That's 414-902-4000. Or visit brewers.com/5county. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks to our guests, Kirk Neuenheis and Josh Hader. I'm Lane Griddle. Thanks for listening to Brewers on Tap. Brewers, Brewers, Brewers.